Yeah, Chloe is coming. She thought it was four, not two, but it's not. It's two. So I'm here. I'm going to get the questions up. If anyone has any live, fire away. And I think she'll be here in about 10 minutes. Okay. Hopefully she doesn't speed. Although I guess if you've already, if you're already going to lose your license, then no, you still shouldn't speed, obviously. Right. Scrolling to the bottom. Okay. This weekend, I will be running the London Marathon. That's very exciting. Super excited and nervous. In terms of recovery, calories, and getting back into the gym afterwards, what would you suggest? I'm also going, okay, right, let's cover that first. Oh, this is very exciting. So, in terms of recovery, honestly, have a really nice meal the night after. I wouldn't overthink the calories beyond that. You might be a little bit more hungry the next day, but you're not in a massive deficit. We don't put anyone in extreme deficits. So there's not that much more that you need to do in terms of recovery. And then getting back to the gym afterwards, you're probably going to be a bit sore for a couple of days. And again, there's probably not much more you need to think in regards to that. Ease yourself back in a couple of days afterwards. Sorted. Okay, I'm also going on my first solo holiday. Very nice. 11th of May. So keen to get some sort of routine back before I go so it doesn't trip me up. For context, I'm on 1600 to 1800 calories, 10,000 steps a day, 53 kilograms. Okay, I don't know how tall you are, but 53 kilograms, you're a small person anyway. Those are absolutely fine calories. What's going to be more important is, and this goes for anyone who's prepping for a marathon, is if after the marathon you decide to reduce your activity levels, which most people do, then we need to make sure that those calories, assuming fat loss is your goal, will still have you in a deficit. Because at the moment, you're obviously, if you're losing weight, you're in a deficit at 1600 to 1800 calories. But if you then stop doing your marathon training, you might not be in as big a deficit. Well, you certainly won't be. So we might need to adjust calories afterwards, but we can come to that closer to the time. Okay, Beth. Hello, Clemma. I'm loving the workouts and I'm getting to the gym regularly 3 times a week. You've both talked about making sure your TBA slash internal corset is activated when doing lift. Could I have a quick reminder of how to check these muscles are engaged? Thank you. Oh, here's something. My friend literally just came out of the pelvic floor physio and reported on a group chat that we need to suck spaghetti up our bum and hold an egg in our vagina. Metaphorically, obviously. Very glad you added that in because that was a close call. I mean, if that's what the pelvic floor physio is saying, then there you go. So no, Chloe is coming. She's just a little bit late. In fact, she's WhatsApped to me. Let me see what she said. 2 minutes. Okay, fine. 2 minutes, 4 minutes ago. Interesting. Joking. Right. Hello, ladies. What, if any, opinions do you have on, oh, I don't even know what that word is, autologous fat transfers? Since having my baby, my boobs aren't what they used to be. So I'm looking into options and stumbled across this. They do lipo in one area and inject your boobs. So you slim down and get a boob job. I was wondering if you are still in fat loss when you undertake this procedure, can you lose the fat they have transferred? Or if you gain fat, can your boobs become massive? Thank you so much. What good questions. I mean, I guess the interesting question is there is this, everyone has sites where they tend to store more fat, right? Most people will notice them, like whether that's for some people around their bum, whether it's around their middle for some people, might be slightly different areas. I wonder if taking the fat, now, if you've taken the fat cells out of those areas, then you obviously can't store more in that specific area. But I wonder if those fat cells are more like fat absorbing. I don't know. Wouldn't it be great if all your fat went to your boobs? I fucking love that. The answer is I don't know, and I actually don't know how people would really study that. I think what would probably happen is that, say, you took it out of your bum, the likelihood is you now have less capacity to store fat in your bum, so you will store less fat there, and you obviously will have more fat cells in your breasts. So when they enlarge, obviously you'd get bigger breasts, whether you lost fat or gained fat, that would be true. So if you think of your fat cells, this must be how it works. Yeah, I think if you think of your fat cells like a balloon, when you lose fat, that balloon shrinks. When you gain fat, that balloon enlarges. So if you have more balloons in your bosoms to enlarge, then you would get bigger boobs. If you don't have as many balloons anymore in your bum, then even if you put on fat, you're not going to store as much in your bum. But how interesting. Yeah, I can't say I know anyone that has done that I know of. But yeah, great. And also then you wouldn't have like hard boobs. You'd have nice soft boobs. Yeah. Okay. Hello, Clemma. I'm enjoying the workouts in the gym, but I think I might be doing the lateral raises incorrectly. I get through. Oh, here's Chloe. Suspense. Great for the podcast. Just a long period of silence for everybody.
Hang on. Hang on. I don't know why I didn't tell. I'm so sorry. I had it in my phone. It's 4 p.m. And then I was like, oh my God, what have I done? I was only 2 minutes down the road, so it's all right.
Well, I mean, you did very well to get back.
You know, I was like that dickhead in the car. I was like, I was doing nursery uniform shopping for Bodhi, which is down the road from me, thank God. And you're like, hello, are you coming? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm so bored. Anyway.
What, like, does she, is it like a posh one where she has to wear like a little hat and like a little dress?
No, it's literally, it's my vibe. It's like a red
But
jumper and black
can
tracksuit
you get her
bottom.
to wear? I should just be so cute in like a little hat and a dress.
I mean, she would be if I ever put her in dresses. Everyone thinks she's a boy. She looks like a shrunk He-Man. Anyway, I'm so sorry. Let's get to work. How long have you been live for?
Only like 10 minutes. I've also answered loads of questions, so it's fine.
I'm sure you have, guys. I'm sorry. That's my brain. I just, whatever. Okay, I'll go to the post.
I'm on it. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
I'm enjoying the workouts, but think I might be doing lateral raises incorrectly. I get through two sets of about 12 reps, but my shoulders go up each time, and it feels like I'm lifting the weights through my shoulders. Can you explain the correct form and what it should look like, please? Am I getting the most out of the exercise?
No, so it sounds to me like you're using your traps coming up into your neck. And these are as small as your shoulder muscles are, your traps are actually smaller, are they? Well, I suppose all inclusive, yeah. And also that's not great for your neck. So think of it like this. If you sit up with me now or stand, whatever, you think shoulders back. So like your shoulder blades come together, your shoulders back and down. So you drop them back and down. Then you think of it like, can you see me? I'll
Yes.
show you. Okay, so back and down. Then you think of it like, and you can stand how you want. I like to do a like feet together little kind of squat, but everyone's different. Stand how you want. So shoulders back, down, and then you come up literally to lateral. So you come up like this. You don't need to go up here. I don't want you to stop down here. You come up lateral like you are, I don't know, the statue of a bird. And when you do it, when you do the actual forcing the load, really think about your lateral deltoid here being the thing that is forcing that joint to come up. And if you do that, especially with the shoulder cue, with specifically what you're talking about, and you stop when you're lateral, you'll avoid using your traps. It's when people already start like that. Or if they come up too high, they go like that. But if you do those cues, you should be fine.
Yeah, I would say that lateral raises are one of the most common exercises to do wrong. I think
Yeah.
because people expect to increase the weight in the same way that they would increase the weight on other exercises. And it's so hard to increase the weight. And you think it's like one of the exercises where you're taking a weight as far away from your center of gravity as possible. So of course, like it's significantly harder. I would really, with exercises like that, focus on feeling the muscle as opposed to being like, oh, well, it's, I need to keep progressively overloading. I have basically been lifting the same weight for years and years and years.
What do you lift for lateral raises?
Sometimes eight, but this is a good point because sometimes when I lift six and I slow down and even like try and pause at the top, I actually think I get better shoulder workout. So there is obviously some kind of swinging that I'm doing, even though I'm like obviously trying not to. This is also why I think it might not be this round of workouts, but I often put in seated lateral raises, superset into standing, and it kind of shows how much like the seated ones are so much harder
Yeah.
to swing. And then
Absolutely.
when you can swing a little bit and you use a little bit of momentum.
Yeah. I like cables as well, but there's so much technique that goes into it that doesn't need to go into it to be an effective lateral raise. I kind of get a bit like technically lazy and I'm like, why would I bother? I'll just go use a dumbbell. If I had resistance bands, obviously I'd bother, but.
We actually don't have any other questions on the thread.
Oh, sugar. My God, like you did all the heavy lifting and then
What
I just showed up.
you did miss was Lynn is doing the London Marathon.
Oh, wow. How exciting.
Just wondering about calories for recovery, but I've kind of said not to worry too much.
No, I mean,
Have a meal.
if you have body fat to lose, it's more about macros and meal timing if you're doing that kind of thing than it is about how low should you or shouldn't you drop your calories. Being in, say if fat loss is still your goal, being on those kind of, again, not how Emma, and this is not how Emma and I coach, not ultra low calories, but being in a slight deficit while doing that activity, but setting up your meal timing and your macronutrient timing. And these, it's the only time we'll ever say that is if somebody's got a performance goal. The only time, it's only relevant for those people. Setting up your meal timing and your macronutrient timing to buffer your runs in terms of pre for energy and then post for both recovery and also satiety. So a nice trick is before to have, you know, your kind of starch, your carbohydrates, protein, however close to your training or the run is up to you, whatever digests well and feels comfortable for you. And you'll find that with your choice of carbs and protein as well. And then afterwards, maybe doing a repeat of that meal with a shit ton of fiber thrown in there, not before the run, but after. Don't do that. With a shit ton of fiber thrown in there. And that's going to help, you know, the carbs, the protein, it's going to replenish glycogen. It's going to, aid your recovery and it's also going to make you feel nice and full so you don't get that post run. And this is all, everyone's different, but you don't get that post run hunger. But that, like we say, we always talk about this, not everybody gets really hungry after a run or exercise or added cardio. Like I've got a one-to-one girl now. She just doesn't get, like, she just doesn't experience that. She's doing quite a lot of cardio. She doesn't have ravenous hunger. James is the same. I do. I know when I've trained, so I'm starving, but we're all different. So listen to your biofeedback and take everything I've told you and edit it and cherry pick it accordingly to you.
Yeah, I think after the run specifically, there's almost like when you point it out, I think people are like, oh yeah, that does kind of make sense. But just because you've expended a ton of calories that day doesn't mean that your body will immediately be like, oh, you need this much more calories today. Like you might be a bit hungrier the days after. You might not be. You might
Yeah.
actually have a ton of adrenaline, or you might be really tired and not be really be thinking about food. Like there could be so many things. So I wouldn't so much worry about that. What I was saying before, which is actually more important, is like long term, especially if you're reducing your activity levels, that your hunger levels might stay elevated to the, you know, if you're used to doing lots of mileage because you've been prepping for a marathon, sometimes your hunger levels stay elevated to that level of activity and you need to kind of sit with that a little bit until they normalize.
100% agree with that. Such a good point to raise.
Okay, Rachel. Hi both. I never make live. Can I ask a question about CrossFit? I love it and I do three sessions a week. I'm very mediocre, but it's my preferred way of training. Do you think it's okay long-term way to train? I remember you saying something about CrossFit enthusiasts often suffering with back pain. I don't think so. If I said that, it was hopefully within context. I think there are awful CrossFit coaches, and there are people who do CrossFit with really bad form, but there are also people who bodybuild with really bad form. You know, like I don't think using that to like blanket CrossFit is bad. If you do CrossFit with good form, it's great. And if you enjoy it, It's fantastic, right? So if that's the way that you like exercising and you get a lot from the environment and the friendships that you probably made there and you get excited about your workouts, like absolutely fantastic. We love that for you. If you're struggling with back pain, it's not always the best exercise. But again, it's like it's too broad to say that. Like
Yeah.
I would probably be like, if you had lower back pain, would it be good to do AMRAP deadlifts to, like, no, probably not. But there might be other aspects. So you might have to tweak it a little bit, but doesn't mean you can't do CrossFit.
I think in context of what we said, CrossFit's great. It's a great form of exercise for cardiovascular fitness, strength, power. I mean, endurance, everything you can think of. It's, you know, it is what it's functional fitness. So, you know, it applies to every modality of training. And I'm really pro it. I have a lot of clients, especially one-to-one clients, who love their fucking CrossFit and they need help with it in other areas, with other things, less so with training. I think what's dangerous is that a lot of the time, these kind of like big CrossFit introductory classes that will take on multiple, you know, clients or members, whatever you want to call it, participants. And they all of a sudden just go into teaching you how to do quite technical lifts, whether it's something that in the CrossFit world would be quite a beginner lift, like a back squat, or something that is a lot more technical, like a snatch or a clean, something like that. And because there's so many people and maybe 1 to 2 instructors, it's slightly scary for Emma and I to know that if a client already doesn't really have the basics down, here's how you squat, here's how you deadlift, here, to go into a big group environment like that and just be on a timer being taught how to do like touch and go deadlifts, it makes us nervous. That doesn't mean we don't want you doing it. It just means we want you to be hyper aware of form. We want you to make sure you have the basics nailed down, like your squat, your bench, your dead. Overhead press, that kind of thing. We want you to make sure you have the basics nailed down with free weights and barbells before you set foot in a CrossFit class and then start doing it at such a fast pace. And also, you know, that you find an instructor or a coach or a class that's really fucking great and really responsible with how they teach you form and technique, because it's so much about, there's so much to think about, and it's can be dangerous. But I'm, you know, we love CrossFit. Like we're all for it. It just, yeah, I already know it makes me nervous being an online coach and giving people barbell back squats when I'm not there. That already to me is like, there are moments I'm like, oh God, I really hope most of you can do this. So yeah, it's just like a level up from that kind of fear of fuck, what if you get something wrong? And what Emma said, if you have any niggles, anything like rotator cuff, a back especially, like anything, is CrossFit, you know, going to be the best thing for you without you being seen consistently by a physiotherapist and maybe ironing out the kinks in your body before, like as you continue to go through this class? No. But could you do it? Yeah. But you would have to really put the work into take care of your body.
Yeah. It's the same reason that we said to anyone who's thinking about doing powerlifting, like make sure that you,
A coach.
yeah, because when you're adding load to that, and whether it's load with powerlifting or whether it's often like reps with CrossFit, you want to make sure that you're doing it with good form. But
Yeah.
it sounds like you are. So she says here, I don't personally get back pain, and the coaches are in the coaches in general in my gym are brilliant. Also, I'm better now. I'm older, asking for form, etc. I don't really get swept up and pushing myself beyond my limits. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, none of you should. Like, well, look, if you've got a good performance goal, but yeah, none of you should be pushing yourself into waters that you know your body probably isn't at in a phase or at a stage where you can't really handle it, because you just do that. Trust me, it's worse when you can't move than when you can move within your limits, you know?
Oh yeah, like the biggest thing is not getting injured,
Yeah.
especially as you age. Like if you're thinking, how do I get optimal results? It's not pushing yourself to the absolute max. It's making sure you don't get injured. And you
Yeah.
can push yourself within that. And there are ways to push yourself that are going to really minimize injury. Like, you know, doing it on a machine where you're much less likely to get injured. Yeah. Okay. Karen, what sort of weight should I be using? With a barbell compared to a set of dumbbells. For example, I used a pair of 6 kilogram dumbbells. Can I go heavier on a barbell? Really depends on the movement. Normally, you can lift heavier on a barbell. For example, like most people can barbell bench press more than they can dumbbell bench press because there's stability required for the barbell. There's not like an exact formula. So I would just, again, back to heavy as you can with good form.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, I goblet squat like 28, but I barbell back squat like 60 kgs. So it makes a
Yeah, but I
huge.
guess that's front squat compared to back squat as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, everything's the requirements of the anatomy are completely different if you're holding a dumbbell than if you've got a barbell. And also like the setup, the anatomy of the machine or the bench press, you know, it's already up. Whereas, you know, when you're doing dumbbell, you have to get that shit up. Otherwise, you're just lying there. You literally just unrack it. So, yeah. But you know, we love a bit of both. I kind of like it. I always do like my first few exercises of my lower body day on the squat rack. You know, I do my squat, I do my RDL, I do my deadlift, and then I move on to everything else. I kind of like it when I go in and it's all taken. I'm like, cool, I'll do dumbbells, which does require me to go lighter, but it feels different and I get different. I wouldn't say DOMS is too strong a word, but I feel it differently the next day, and I like that. I think that's good.
Yeah, I think mixing it up now and again is not a bad thing.
No.
Okay, Pamela, I have been lifting for a while following your program. Just recently, I've been sore after a session. I know this is lovely. However, I am lifting as heavy as I can, to almost lose form at the last 2 to 3 reps, but nothing the next day. Is it okay or should I feel it? Thanks for your words. Thanks, your words are my Bible. And it's completely normal not to be sore after a workout. It's not to say it's, you know, like we were just speaking about, oh, if you use your muscle in a slightly different way, then okay, that I read some of that wrong. Well, she actually, I'll back myself here. She's written some of that wrong. She just said it should say, I haven't been sore. Oh no, it does say that. I just read it wrong.
Doesn't sound like Emma.
Anyway, point being, DOMS is not a good marker of whether your workout's been good or not. And the fact that you've said here, like, I've been lifting for a while, which I did read right, that is a good indicator to me that actually you're just recovering very well. If and the likelihood is when we reprogram for you, when you do your next block, you'll be sore again after the first couple of sessions because it's slightly different exercises using your muscle in slightly different ways. But it's not to say that that's working better or worse. So not having DOMS all the time isn't a bad thing. And if you did have it all the time, I would probably be worried that you weren't recovering as well as you could be.
Yeah, nothing to add.
All right, okay, we're up to date. Do you have
Oh my.
any
Yeah,
interesting?
I'm going to book the teams for Battle Cancer today. I'm waiting Scott to message me. Oh, the London date is wrong, I think. But that this is not my fault. This is copy and pasted from him to me. But
Right.
it's not. It's the 14th, not the 13th. Let me just double check that I've got that the
Oh,
right way.
okay. Because someone had written, why is it on a Friday? Or it's a shame it's on a
Oh yeah,
Friday.
no, sorry. It's the 14th, not the 13th. But I think a lot of you have caught that. You've gone on the website. You're not fucking around. You guys are smart. You know what you're doing. It is London, September 14th, not 13th. So that's my bad slash Scott's bad. So I'm gonna book the teams in today. I'm basically just gonna do it step by step over the next few days. I'm gonna start putting in the work. I'll confirm it with you all, everyone who's voted. Look, if we have an awkward number, it might be a case that somebody needs to pull out or a couple people need to pull out because, as I said, the teams are.
I'll do it. I mean, I'll have to
Me
we
and Emma will back in. But it's looking like we're not going to be doing Dublin, or there is an Edinburgh 6 votes. So, Emma, if Emma and I do it, that's easy. That's two teams. If not, two people will need to pull out. It's that kind of thing. There is a Manchester, which is the second one. And that's 11 votes. So that is again 4, 8, 12. That's like three teams, really. Like either Emma or I will jump in on that. And September 13th, Emma and I are not here, but 24 votes for that one, which means there'll be six teams. So
London, yeah.
yeah. And that's the biggest one. It's meant to be fucking massive. I think it's in Battersea Power Station. It's a big deal. I know.
Oh my, literally where I'll be. What a
No.
shame.
It's so shit. This is the only one he originally
Oh my
wanted.
God, that's so annoying because we could have just rented out the rooftop.
I know. So I was like, right, okay. Well, you know what? Like, we got an Edinburgh. Let's do that. You're there. We've got a Manchester.
I won't be. I'll be in London.
Okay.
But Harry said we could stay at hers.
I know. And
So
her
back to that, because that'd be hilarious.
I that Airbnb also, like, in the if you look at the website in the photos, the promotional photos, it's just like two deck chairs outside and a bottle of champagne. I was like, I'm in, I'm coming. Being said, I actually haven't had a drink in a while, so I'm doing pretty good with this. I'm like, kind of don't want to get off track. So yeah, look, I'll book in all the teams, and like I say, there might be a conversation to be had with some of you guys about sitting it out, but you can still come anyway, you can still be there.
I reckon worst case scenario, we'll be able to drag someone in. 100%.
Yeah, actually, you know what,
How
you're right.
many
I reckon
people?
we
Like,
can
of
swap in
course
and
we'll be
out.
able to be like, either we'll do it or not do it, and
Oh
then
no,
we'll definitely rope someone in.
do you know what we can do? If there's like two extra, we'll just be like two of you swap in and out with the team as you go. I mean, there's two rounds, so two people could do one round and the other two could come in and do the other round. Yeah, let's do that. That's better, and then no one has to be like, it's like, bye, Sue, you're not invited. Fuck off, Sue. I don't even know if Sue's
Fuck
voted to do
off, Sue.
it. If Sue's voted to do it, she's watching now, like, it's gonna be me. They're gonna tell me to fuck off.
I mean, I definitely vote Rachel does it. She's CrossFit, so.
Yeah, I know. When she said that, I was like, go to let's do that. Let everyone know, because it's going to be embarrassing for the rest of us who are like,
Sue's just commented, why me?
what's wrong with me? But basically, I'm going to book that all in, and then I will put up the what's it called when you do your CrossFit workout? There's like a name for it, and it's just
The
complete.
wad.
Yes, I'll put up the WOD of the day on the day, and then I will put up some videos and stuff of Scott doing it, talking you through it. Like I say, guys, if it's like a floor to ceiling lift, we don't want you fucking picking up some massive weight. Just practice the movement, practice, break it down step by step, do it with a 2 kg, try it with a 4 kg, whatever, we build as we go. And then all the actual event info will start to drip feed. But it's looking like the first one will be July 6th. So we've got a little while. What are we at
When's
now?
that? Edinburgh?
Edinburgh. 3 months away. We've got a while.
Yeah.
I love Edinburgh.
I'm excited for it. It'll be good.
Yeah. Okay, right. More to come on that. So just the only reason I'm waiting is because A, I wanted to give it a few days for everyone to vote. And then after saying what I said a few days ago about make sure or retract your vote, and I'm just going to reiterate that, retract your vote now. Because, well, to be fair, it's, yeah, he runs it. He's a friend. I'll be like, we don't need that. Bring it
Yeah,
down a
but
little.
like commit to it fully or don't.
Commit to it. Yeah. Emma and I will be at what Emma and or I will be at one or all of the events apart from September. So yeah. That's it. I promise you, I'm not procrastinating. I just want to make sure that everyone's had a chance to vote and retract. So yeah.
And then we should probably talk about this offline, but why not? Are we going to do a meetup in London over the
Well, I
summer?
think I wanted that to be it, but now it looks like that's not going to happen. So I think we should do an autumn meetup, because we've got a lot going on this summer, Emma, a lot.
Yeah, I think if we're trying to get to all of those.
I'm intimidated by adding more to my summer, but I think maybe an October one would be good.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you know, we could do June. I do have like a complete free week in June. Joe, James is taking Bodie. Jody, oh my God. When referring to James and Bodie, I should just call them Jody. Jody's going to
Oh,
Jody's.
Jody.
Jodie, oh my God, I'm never gonna get bored of this. Or like, what is it? No, but Jodie's going to Portugal for a week. I'm so like dreading it, because I'm not gonna. It's the longest I've never gone, more than like 1 to 2 days. It's somewhere, not even a full 2 days, somewhere in that region of not seeing her in like nearly 2 years, and now she's going away for a full week, and I'm like, don't kill my baby. Please bring her back in one piece. So they're going away for a week to Portugal, and I basically will have a week free. So it's kind of like a down week for me, and
Just
would be,
them, or is he
yeah.
going with someone?
Huh?
Just them, just Jodie.
Just Jodie. Don't
Huh?
Emma. Don't scare me.
No, I just wondered.
Let me find out which date
Is
this
that
is.
because you booked going away? And he was like, fine, Jodie's going away as well.
Probably, yeah. It's James. He's always butthurt about something. He got really angry with Bodhi last night because she wouldn't let him comfort him. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. She was screaming. And then I walked in and she immediately fell asleep as soon as she was on me. And he was like, fuck's sake, fuck's sake. And I stormed off. I was like, you've been away for 2 weeks. Just, you know.
Cool.
Here we go. From the set, it's the third week of June. So Emma, we'll talk about this offline. And if it works, we'll come back in and maybe we'll do a June meetup.
Yeah, because we need to make the most out of what we've got
You know.
in it.
Okay, and that's
Right
it for now.
then. Okay, well then we'll be back next week with Q&A.
Do you know what I'm going to do? Blast from the past. I'm going to go and buy some choc shots so I can make my protein mug cake in the evening. So last night I was actually really craving it.
What's a chalk shop?
It's like a low calorie chocolate syrup. I like to make protein mug cake and just squirt it all over it. And then I was like, I haven't craved it because you know when you overdo something. And then last night I was like, oh, I could really use a little protein mug cake with a little bit of choc shot. And I was like, that's on the shopping list. That and the uniform. I'm going now.
Okay. Bye.